captain of Ingolimus. Akivas faces his job in GOG with Keeve and Ellie and Zooey.
Hey fam, and welcome back to New Girl Old Guy for season 5, episode 17 and 18 of New Girl. I'm neither the new girl nor the old guy. My name is Ali Lazier, and I'm here with the very jolly Akiva Winokur.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking? Our recording schedule is so terrible that, like, do I release this episode today because we've recorded today, which is Christmas Day? Mm-hmm. Or do I wait till our Wednesday drop, which has not actually had a podcast episode drop on a Wednesday in, like,
let's do Wednesday. I don't think this is prime time, like Christmas night, you know?
I don't think we're, like, I think our listeners at this point, like, we're not in a growth model. Like, we haven't really done what needs to be done, like, consistent guests and promotion and regular recording. So I think we're just riding our little crew to the end, in which case, I don't think it really matters when we drop it.
Yeah, can I also say something about our crew?
Please.
A lot of them don't keep Christmas, you know?
Allie from the editing room. Nothing I think has made me laugh harder in the X episodes of NGOG than here listening back to Keeve say keeping Christmas. Very niche. Just great. Back to the show.
Yeah, well.
I mean, most of them probably do, statistically.
I think Monday night in general is not a great time to drop a guest on a day when most people don't commute because it is Christmas generally, or because most people don't go in on Mondays in a remote work environment.
What percentage of the world, by the world I mean like America, just because we're most familiar with it, are working tomorrow?
That's interesting, because I do feel like all the cool companies like close down, like the
whole
week. Cool companies close down the week between Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. Your girl's working, I'll tell you that for free.
Yeah, law firms and lawyers.
It's not even law firms. First of all, I don't work at a law firm.
No,
but second of all,
lawyer,
I just don't.
As
a Jew, as a Jewish ally, which people could return the favor, but as,
ally of the Christians.
As a Jewish ally, I don't take off Christmas like on principle. And as a childless person currently, like, because a lot of people need to take this vacation because it's when their kids are off, Jewish or not.
Mm-hmm.
Public schools are closed, so like that's, you know, I always was away on Christmas because my mom was a teacher, not because we were celebrating Christmas. And B, like, I think it's, I don't know, as a kid I was trained, I was raised like Jewish doctors, they volunteer to work on Christmas so like the non-Jewish doctors can be with their families. I don't know, I'm out here grinding away because it's what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't do it this year, but I've done it a bunch for, like, for NBC, being the Christmas, New Year's guy.
People are too quick to turn their backs on the Jew. We're out here covering your shifts.
And also, you know, people have covered for me. I you know, I have to leave early on Friday nights all the time, so repay the favor once a year.
Well, that's the other thing. I feel like, you know, we take a big hit in September, October in terms of availability. Like,
yes, but a lot of times that's just people's, you know, main, like, chunk of days off. Like a lot
that's
of times you
mean.
Just have to use days. You don't apologize for using days. It's more like you know what I mean? That's just like the equivalent of someone taking a vacation. They're not really covering for you. That's just a normal time off.
Well, how is that different than people taking Christmas vacation? If anything, it's worse because Jews aren't allowed to work on those days versus like someone could work on Christmas or Christmas Eve. They shouldn't
have
to, but it's not like a religious. They really missed out on that. Like the Pope should like go back and be like, no one's allowed to even work. That's good branding for our holidays, I think.
No one's allowed to work? Yeah. Okay. You don't think the Pope is still listening, or you think he cut it off when we took the long break like last year?
You know what I'm saying? Like that is something that I think a lot of non-Jews in my travels have not understood that like, it's not just like, oh, yeah, I don't want to work on Thanksgiving or I don't want to work on Christmas. It's like, it is not in my practice to work on Yom Kippur. And people, I think non-Jews have a hard time with that.
We do a lot of things people don't really, you know, it's hard to explain.
But yeah, no, I am. I do have a dynamite dinner brewing in the oven right now, which in 36 minutes, I'll have a choice between sticking around or getting up and asking you to riff while I throw potatoes in and come back. I am braising short ribs.
Sounds really good. One of
It's
my
gonna
favorite
be
foods.
amazing. It's the second time I've made braised short ribs. I had some meat in the freezer I had to use. I was like, I got a day off. I'll braise some short ribs just for myself, because I deserve it. And so I'm about an hour in, and then in about a half hour, I'm gonna have to add some taters.
Taters.
I've lost you already. The interest is low. Did I offend you at the holiday discussion?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I was just dreaming about the short ribs.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked about it. It's gonna be good. Yeah, that's it. I've been listening to, I told you this before we got on the podcast. I've been listening a lot to the Seinfeld podcast.
Yes.
It's one of the few podcasts I can stomach currently. And let's see, I wrote down one note. Oh, do you remember you said something I was listening to today. You said something pretty hilarious. You defined being inside versus being outside, because you were saying you don't like to go outside. And then I forget, Rob made some comment that was like, but then you're outside. He's like, well, once I'm at work, I'm already outside. And then you gave a definition of being inside, which I found hysterical. Do you remember,
Okay.
do you feel strongly about a definition of what being inside means to
Whether my pants are on or not, my shoes are on.
Close. A room with a bed. If you're in a room with a bed, you're inside. Anywhere else, apparently, you are outside.
I think shouldn't we switch this to room or like with bed or couch? You know?
Shouldn't we switch it? It was a totally personal definition. You and Rob didn't come up with it. You said it, Rob accepted it. You want to go back 10 years and change it here? We can amend it.
Yes, I'd like to amend it to say like because am I not home if I'm in a like a living room? You know, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of liked it as a concept. What you were getting at was like, even, oh, it was because you said that this is what it was. You said you were at a school where people called you by your first name, and he was like, wow, cool teacher. Like, Akiva, can we do class outside today? And you were like, I'd be fine with that. And he's like, but you like being inside. And you're like, well, once I'm already at work, once I'm at school, then I'm outside.
Yeah, that is true. Right. It's not that I like a roof over my head. It's like I like that I like being home. You know, and I'm not I also think it's my bed. I don't think I'm home if I'm in most other homes.
Is somebody preparing a farewell Renap episode quiz where they're starting to go back now 2 years ahead of time and you know, do the Producer Kelly game for Renap?
We could honestly, that's a good idea, but it's you know, we were so many years away from that. Let's not,
Yeah, but that somebody's got to be doing that prep now. When you're like 3 weeks out, it's like, oh, I wish I w went back and listened to 300 something episodes and over a digestible amount of time.
Yeah, I hear you. If someone
This
wants
is
to
still an
start, God
episode
bless.
every other day for 2 years.
Yeah, I guess you don't have to listen to every one. It doesn't have to be that comprehensive, but it's a fun idea for sure.
You know what would be cool? I've been thinking a lot about this. Is like, it would be very cool to just a la Jeff Probst being like, season 40 is just season 40, or you know, part of us wanted to do that. I forget what season he said that about. Like, somebody ended a years long podcast. Like, let's use what is the News AF, for example. Let's not use Renap. Let's not bring Renap into this. But let's say News AF was gonna end. They just did like a regular episode and then end it. And then they were like, all right, bye everyone. This has been great. Thanks for 5 years. Hung
I
up.
mean,
No special, no fanfare, just a regular episode.
it's a baller move to do that.
All right.
But I also think like first of all, a lot of podcasts just end. You know, it's like they didn't know they were going to end; they just end.
Yeah, but that's cool. That's cool. You're in control of it. You know it's going to end. It doesn't count if you just like cancel it after the fact.
I hate when TV shows do it. You know, when TV
Yeah.
shows like just have a regular episode. It's pretty rare these days, but a regular episode as your finale—that's lame.
Well, that's everyone is left in How I Met Your Fatherland. because that just ended and then did not get renewed. So here we.
Well, that's
we
different.
Sit.
Yes, if a show gets canceled.
Oh, you mean there were shows that had a planned series finale and it was just a regular episode?
Regular episode or like nothing super special. Like I remember, I don't know why, but I saw the Everybody Loves Raymond finale. It's not wasn't like a big, big deal.
Interesting. Doesn't someone die on that?
No, I think they think he's sick for part of the episode, but like it's not like a big blockbuster.
Don't love that. All right. And Kiva, I didn't ask how you were. I was just so excited to get into all this other stuff.
I'm fine. Usual. The same. The Jets, the top of my Twitter timeline was like the Jets tweeting happy holidays, Jets family. And it's like Jets fans ice skating at Rockefeller Center. And there's the giant Christmas tree. And then there's the menorah. Now, I don't know. I haven't been there in many years. Since it was my workplace at 12 years ago. And I don't know if they have a giant menorah. But is it like I appreciate the shout out. But are we still doing happy holidays on Christmas itself? Like post Hanukkah? You know what I mean? If Hanukkah's over?
I mean,
do we need the menorah?
I can't imagine we didn't discuss this last Christmas, but my feelings have really changed on that in the last 3 months. So, yeah, I was a big, like, I don't really, this is all fine. It's Christmas. It's not the holiday season. It's Christmas. Like, I don't want to speak for people who observe Kwanzaa if they're on the same boat here, but I never really am like, I don't need the menorah. Whatever. Do your Christmas thing. It's fun. I'm doing my thing. You're doing yours. You've got the masses. Literally and figuratively, but like, or both senses of the word, I should say. And now I'm like, I'm tired of living under this like other majority religious regime. So it's like, I shouldn't be asked about this.
I hear you. I was just thinking like, it's so far after Hanukkah. I wasn't really.
Yeah, well, they don't care. People, you know, people putting up menorahs generally don't know the like when Hanukkah is. Hanukkah gets lumped into the Christmas season even when it's in November. Which, fair enough. I don't know when 99% of minority religion's holidays are. I'm not saying they should track the Hanukkah schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But where is... Let me see the picture because I'll tell you where the menorah is. Because there's a huge menorah, but it's not in Rock Center. It's like more on like Fifth Avenue-ish, like... On the other
just
side
go
of the
to
park.
Jets Twitter. It should be there. Like
I am, second. And I'm just seeing all these green men.
I do what I do like the green
oh,
on
it's
green
an
uniform.
Illustration.
It's an illustration. Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm asking.
Like it's a drawing. I feel like that wasn't clear. So like Santa's in the sky. Are you asking if Santa's really in the sky?
No, I know Santa's not really in the sky.
Oh my God! That was
I mean,
so
actually,
funny.
If you're listening with your kids, Santa—I mean, he's not in the sky because he's delivering presents to your house.
Wait, he's not. No, he's done. Santa's resting now. Santa did his.
Is there nowhere in the world where? Yeah, I guess at this point, probably not.
Oh my God, that was so funny and unexpected. So, want to know a fun fact about these two episodes?
Yes.
So I watched them with my mother, and by watch them with my mother, I mean. She was on her phone for 90% of it, or I would say she was on the phone for 90% of the time she was awake and asleep for like 75% of both episodes, to the point where she woke up at the end of the second episode and was like, this is still going. I was like, this is the end of the second episode. She goes, oh, but I thought I'd get her because she's a big Max Greenfield fan. She loves The Neighborhood. She has the attention span of probably your youngest son.
Mm-hmm. He's a solid attention span if he wants
to. Okay, well then worse.
Yeah.
So she started grilling me about just this whole podcast in general.
This
show. She goes, this show, NGOG, what happens when you're done? She couldn't believe people were interested in this. She's like, is there interest in this? Who listens to this? I was like, very few people.
No,
very
you should have played it up. You should have played it up. Why are you being
well, then
a hater?
She goes, what about The Neighborhood? Why not The Neighborhood? And I said, if you would do The Neighborhood, we'll show up for a recording in The Neighborhood. And they'll probably never make air. I'll give her a microphone that's not plugged in, you know, and let her do a podcast about The Neighborhood.
We have the neighborhood in the Fishbowl in Renap, actually. We could come up one
Did
day.
Felipe propose it?
I don't know who proposed the neighborhood. I can check. But
I mean, I wouldn't allow my mother to be subject to Renap's vicious audience. But you're missing out. What was the one? Oh, the family. My mom would have said if my mom went on that, what was it like, the masked friend?
Oh,
Claim to Fame.
Claim to Fame, yeah.
If my mom went on Claim to Fame, she would have said my name in the first like 20 seconds she was on the podcast.
Oh yeah, that would be funny.
She'd been like, "Allie told me what this was. I don't understand," and she'd be out immediately. All right, not a lot of interest here from you, Keeve.
I'm looking for. I don't see the pitch for the neighborhood. Maybe Rob. Rob may have pitched it himself. I think maybe Rob likes it. Or it's like Nicole's favorite show. I don't. Now I'm blanking.
No, she's a Goldberg's girly.
Oh yeah. You're right. She's Goldberg girly.
All right. Season 5, episode 17, 18, Road Trip and A Chill Day In, originally aired together April 26, 2016. Really, an A story and a B story. I guess two A stories. I don't know. Two. It's really just one extended episode, it feels like.
Yes, it's basically one extended episode, but it's like told from two different, you know, angles, so it is sort of two different things. I don't know.
Do you want to digest them all together, or you want to start with Road Trip? Your choice.
I'll digest them both together. So we've got Road Trip and A Chill Day In. What were my guesses? Do you remember my guesses?
I was like, you can get it. You were like, someone goes on a road trip, somebody has a chill day in. I was like, Akiva, think about like where we are, where we need to be. Like, you could think about this road trip. What would they be doing? And I think you maybe said like, well, the wedding. And then you weren't interested in really making a guess.
The gang, and of course, famously, the gang is
no reaction.
Nick Schmidt and Winston, along with Robbie, Schmidt's cousin Rob Riggle, and a random guy who I don't know.
Jay Cronkite Valley Forge.
Who's from Schmidt's work? Right? Am I wrong? Am I right? Oh, he's from Schmidt's work?
I mean, we've seen the groomsmen together before. I forget. You give the rest of the digest and I'll plug where
they basically go on a bachelor party. It's like a mini episode of you know, TV version of The Hangover. They get in the fights. Wild time is had. They end up coming back. Meanwhile, the women's side is A Chill Day In while the guys are away. Jess and Cece, Jess has her every 10-year bong, and they get high. Meanwhile, they have a whole bunch of shenanigans with Allie and Tripp, Allie's boyfriend, we met last episode, who is the dog agent or the pet agent. And then eventually the episode, sees both crews meeting up again in the apartment.
Okay,
It was fun. It was a wild ride. Honestly, these two episodes.
Yeah, it was fun. My mom laughed at one very specific point before she fell asleep, so I'll flag that. And then she woke up with the strippers at the end and went, "Whoa." Fred Melamed playing Jay Cronkite Valley Forge. We last saw him and first saw him in season 5, episode 1, Big Mama P, which is the engagement party, and he is the CFO of Associated Strategies, lovingly referred to as Astrat.
Yes.
So, just an update there. I feel like we've talked, you know, we've done the bachelorette party before. Like, Cece had a bachelorette party when she was supposed to marry, God, the guy who's now married to Taylor Swift in The New Girl. Ooh, I forget his name. Shivrang. So I feel like we must have discussed bachelor, bachelorette parties before. But Matt Stewart says, what's the best bachelor or bachelorette party you've ever been to? You were like 16?
Yeah, I mean, but I didn't have one. I thought it was just from the movies. And I think even literally the movie, like, let's say The Hangover, which is one of the more famous Bachelor piece of cinema, came well after I was married.
I feel like that's Bachelor Party unseen, not seen. Right? Doesn't The Hangover take place, like, after the action?
No, the Hangover, I mean, it starts
They like wake up, right? And Doug's missing, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but then the rest of the movie is showing you the bachelor party.
Well, the excitement is we join our heroes after the big night.
Yeah, but they rewind to the beginning.
Yeah. Okay. All right, go ahead.
It's definitely a bachelor party movie. And so is the second one. I haven't seen the third one in a while. Actually, I did, but I don't remember it. I don't have any wild stories I can think of. Sometimes, like the wildest parts, I wouldn't always partake in. What about you? Do you have any crazy bachelorette stories?
Nothing that comes to mind that feels relevant here. I've been to them. All right. So this is interesting. First of all, my mom sees Max Greenfield here and goes, "Wasn't he on Girls?" And I said, "I think you're thinking of New Girl, the show we're watching." She said, no, he was in something else. End of conversation. Don't know what she was talking about. So the beginning here before my mom fell asleep was tough because she kept kind of chiming in. But basically Tokyo is out and they dispose. If you recall, Nick bought like non-refundable a bajillion dollar tickets to Tokyo. And then that's when Fred Armisen comes and Airbnbs out the loft.
Yeah.
But that gets disposed of with just, Nick booked the trips on a scam website. But, like, the crisis there being that Nick loses the money, right? Like, they don't address, like, it got, like, the is he just out $9,000 or whatever it was?
Yeah, they don't address it. But, again, money's fake in all sitcoms, right? It's like, I could bounce back from that, even though they don't really have a lot of money, most of the crew.
Fair enough. Meanwhile, Schmidt's backup is like a Tokyo theme, low-key, like massages, whatever. And then he gets into sort of an automobile incident where he beeps or yells at the guy who cuts him off. And that guy, Toby, gets out of the car.
He's Toby.
Yelling Toby at him, a bit of a road rage incident until Schmidt has to stand down. Didn't really find the rainbow beaded hair so intimidating, but Matt Stewart says neither of you are big drivers or drivers at all, but would you be a road rager? Keeve, do you have a
I'm not a big driver. No, I'm pretty actually calm on the road. I you want to go faster than people or whatever, but I'm usually calm. I don't even really understand it. But yeah, this is a real road rage incident. I don't know. This was like very sitcom-y also. He just yells he's Toby. Like I think in real life this guy like smashes Schmidt's car or whatever, but Schmidt feels like very emasculated, right?
Yeah, on the road rage piece, I have no road rage at all. In fact, I usually cause road rage because I'm driving like 10 miles an hour just doing my best and people are constantly yelling and honking at me. I'm also on the flip side a big proponent of like everyone might have a gun, so it's not worth it to beep or flip the bird or scream or whatever. And I'm not a competent enough driver to even know when someone's cutting me off. And I'm at least 5 car lengths behind them anyway. So, like, I have no road rage. I have a lot of other rage. I have no road rage. But, yeah, I think Schmidt has a huge overreaction to this, which I think is, like, appropriately called out by Jess. But, essentially, he's going to move for a Vegas bachelor party like men instead of a spa weekend. Matt Stewart says Vegas more manly than Japan. I don't know that I feel like Vegas is particularly manly in general. I don't know that it feels genuine.
Well, Vegas has a lot of bachelorette parties, so yeah, I don't think it's just for the fellas. I think like golfing would be more like stereotypical guys or
I don't know.
I don't know what else. What are bachelor parties that would be like more manly, so to speak?
I don't know if it's manly, but I will say the most common bachelor party, like the last 3 bachelor parties I've heard about have all been the bachelors, the groomsmen or whatever, going camping in the woods in various areas where they get no cell service and are unreachable and have to bring like flares. And the majority of these people are not men who camp. So like, honestly, like an ex-boyfriend of mine who you met did this. And I was like, well, you're obviously going to die. Like, it's like, you can't. It'd be like Akiva camping. It's like,
right.
You have no business going into the woods.
No,
unreachable with a flare. You wouldn't even know how to set a flare off.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be good.
Not you. Now, this is me talking to him. But, like, I mean, I didn't say that. I was like, good luck. Don't die. Whatever. But I don't get that. I have, like, if I would really, it would be hard for me to imagine. Almost because if I had a bride in my life who wanted to do that, I'd be like, I will only be a hindrance to your party. I will not enjoy myself. Everyone else will not enjoy me being there. I will be scared. I will be nervous. I'll be a nightmare. I'll send you with a camp bare impenetrable bottle of champagne and be on your way. Don't make me go to that.
Yeah, I would beg not to go also. I would ultimately go. Actually, one time I did skip out on like a day-long fishing excursion as part of a bachelor party. It was so long and I was so not interested. And there was like a second part, so I skipped the fishing.
I again, under the spin zone of they won't want you there. Like, why would they want someone there who's going to be miserable? You're not going to be able to put on a brave face. You're going to be a nightmare to be there.
Yeah, I said maybe I told the story before, but when one of my coworkers was going away when I lived in New York, she said they were going to a bar after work for her goodbye party, and she's like, "Kiva, I'd really like for you to come." And I was like, "I used to be a much bigger a-hole than I am now," but I said like we're friends, we're friendly, right? And she's like, "Yeah, that's why I want you to come." I was like, so if we're like really friends and you know me, then you know the last thing in the world I'd want is to go to this thing. So can my like a goodbye present pre not to go? But I ended up, I think, having to go.
Well, it's almost when you put something so, and as somebody who would say something like that, when you put something so rudely that it's only, you're only able to get away with saying it if it's a joke, then you have to end up going.
Yeah.
Like you said it in such a vicious way that you are an a-hole unless you go.
True, but I think she also said it in a way like, "Ha, it's funny to make Akiva go to this thing that I know he doesn't want to go to." So we were both on like the a-hole sort of track.
May I say that you said that you were then a bigger a-hole than you are now? I don't think you're an a-hole at all
I know, but I'm
now.
saying maybe I was
Oh,
sort
you
of
know,
one
you're
then.
confident in that. Like you know
No,
that you're
I know you
zero
don't
on the
think
a-hole
I am.
scale.
I know you don't
No,
think I
but
am,
like
but
even like somewhat, like I have friends in my life who I'm like, yeah, you're a little bit of an asshole, or you could be like 25% or 10% on a certain day.
Right.
I think you come up zero.
That's very nice. But so even 10% more would be infinite, right?
You broke my brain, sir.
Like
What?
if I was like a 10 out of 100, if I'm a 0 out of 100 now, but I was a 10 out of 100 then, it's that's still a big a drop
Oh,
down.
I see what you're saying. I thought, yeah. So my mom laughed here at this moment, and I thought it was at her phone because she was looking at her phone. And I was like, "What are you laughing at?" She goes, "Him." I can only muster that she was laughing when Winston said, "As a bridesman," and then like apologized to Cece for missing her bachelorette. I think the use of the word bridesman got an LOL out of my mom,
Yeah, that
which is
is
to
funny.
suggest that she shouldn't be on a podcast covering the neighborhood or anything else. That's not that funny.
Well, do you have you ever been to have you ever been in a wedding party and there's like a best man that's a woman or like a bridesmaid that's a guy?
So
Probably.
it's fascinating.
Allie from the editing room, it is so difficult to hear yourself say something is fascinating and then go on to say something not even remotely fascinating. So self roast, back to the show.
I've been to, I don't know, 10 bachelorette parties. I'm not counting. That feels like about right.
What
Maybe
a
a little bit
flex.
more.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a flex. I'm 32. I don't know what the appropriate amount of bachelorette parties to have been
I
to is.
guess.
Maybe a few less. I really don't know. But, and then some of my friends got married in COVID, so who cares? The point is, except for one, which was like a park hang in New York, so maybe he would have been at the one that got rescheduled. So probably one. I would count one. I've never been to a bachelorette party where a man has been there, period. Like, not even the bridal
I was going to
party.
ask
Like,
that.
yeah. Which is strange. And I've never been to a bachelor party because none of my male friends are married. or none of my male friends who may invite me to their bachelor party are married.
None of them are married. Okay.
I like don't even have to ask you the same question.
Has there ever been? I mean, it's trickier. I'm trying to think if like. Never a bachelor party, but we have these like Ufruf things, which are sort of like rehearsal weekend. And then because I was married so young, like normally it would be like dudes only, not always, but sometimes. But I would, because it like you would, you would be normal to bring your wife. So my wife was
lucky Mara. She must have been thrilled.
But then there were times where we'd like go somewhere like for her friends, and I'd have to like go to a third place because I certainly wasn't invited to like the women's version of it. So I'd have to like find a friend in the area and like hang out with them for a day or something.
Now that's a flex. You just have friends in all areas.
Yeah, I mean, generally, like it's, Orthodox Jews in New York. It's like not,
What's the status on bridal parties in the MOA world?
Bridal parties? What do you mean?
Like bridesmaids, groomsmen. Is that a Gentile concept? Do Jews have that?
Yeah, some people do. It varies. I think you get a little further right, and almost nobody's walking down besides immediate family. In terms of like more religious, more closer to ultra-Orthodox. But it depends. Different. Lots of different people do different things.
Got it. All right, then we roll up to what is going to be a road trip to Vegas, and here comes Big Schmidt and the rest of the groomsmen who inexplicably arrive together. I guess they really hit it off at the engagement party because none of these three guys know each other besides, I guess, none of them know each other.
It is quite a crew. I mean, this is really like an unbelievable group to have on the bachelor party.
I have to commend New Girl because I do feel like so often the bridal party or the, whatever, of a sitcom wedding is like just all the people you know.
Yes,
in
too
the
small.
Immediate group. Like the fact that they trot out these random ass people who like have had moments on the show. Like we've met Big Schmidt. So, okay, his cousin, he doesn't have a brother. He's here. You know how important work is. So like they introduce this guy at the engagement party and Robbie, which like doesn't make sense at all that he's here. But like, I'm glad that they're like, again, trotting out some group of people that's not just Nick and Winston, because what happens later with Cece, and again, this is her second bachelorette party on the show. So like they don't need to do it a second time, but they could have easily just been Winston, Nick and Schmidt taking a road trip to Vegas.
For sure. I think that would have been too few and like a little sad, but I could also see like the meetings they had in the writer's room of like, all right, we really don't have anybody. They do bring up Coach, so I bet they tried to get Coach back for this episode because they're like, whatever happened to Coach, which is like I feel like a pretty clear shout out.
It's a great line. Matt Stewart mm-hmm. also called that line out. That was maybe my favorite line in the two episodes.
So I think there was slim pickings, right? They had to take basically anyone who'd be recognizable. Wouldn't be completely absurd to be there.
Another great line was when Big Schmidt is like talking about getting some Desert Strange or whatever he says, Vegas Strange. And he says, I don't care if it's a man, woman, or child. And mm-hmm. Valley Forge says, you really shouldn't care if it's a child. I liked it. Big Schmidt, like the antics and dynamics of these three randos, like made me laugh when they were utilized.
Yeah, honestly, there was a bunch of good lines in this episode.
Meanwhile, we get a little like Robbie's got feelings for Cece. If anything, I'm glad that they use this as like everybody from Cece to Schmidt to everyone else just keeps dismissing Robbie over it. Like, I'm glad this wasn't like a real drama.
Mm-hmm.
But Winston gets a weird text from Jess, which later weaves in her storyline with Allie Tripp on the squirts.
Yeah, that is a weird text.
Where are you? You mobile?
What do you mean mobile? I just like
I couldn't hear you.
I spoke into my hand instead of the microphone.
Classic.
I just said it was it was a little weird.
So the whole storyline with this is like Winston is all focused on his feelings for Allie, very distracted by it. Again, kind of like really ups and downs with Winston and Allie in terms of we find out that Winston has feelings for Allie, then Allie has a boyfriend. Then we don't hear about it for a while. Then they meet the boyfriend. He's kind of supportive of the boyfriend. Then the boyfriend's intimidated by Winston, and now Winston is again so distraught. Like, is this man who's distracted on the bachelor party, is this the same man who could, like, go to lunch with them and be so normal as Winston was when he met Tripp?
I mean, like all three characters, they can switch off between being regular and normal people in cartoons, you know?
Fair enough. It basically, all of Winston's anxiety sets up Big Schmidt from putting the kibosh onto a discussion of lady problems. He eventually confiscates Winston's phone right as Winston is getting a text from Jess to confirm whether or not her on the squirts text meant that she is single. And, like, throughout, I guess Winston has to, like, come into his own, realizing that, I don't know, what he realizes? Like, there's life beyond Allie, and it's okay if she's not single, and he's not going to focus on it, only to find out that Jess is reporting she is single.
He's also married, you know?
But that's a prank.
Yeah,
he's pranked Sinatra.
Yeah, he's pranked. Married.
It's funny because, like, it's interesting that Winston's only real concern throughout is, like, if Allie's single, and if Allie's single, then he's certain, like, he's going to, like, take a shot and it's okay. Only in, like, the very end does he even express hesitation about expressing his feelings. It's, like, whether or not Allie's single is sort of secondary to, like, the main consideration of, like, I'm going to blow up my work life and my personal life in terms of her being my friend if I drop this on her.
Yes, like a married person cheating with a coworker who also has a boyfriend. I mean, it happens in the world, but it's a risky play.
I mean, you're really diving into this Rhonda marriage.
Okay, but even a person in a relationship with a coworker complicated, if they're in a relationship complicated, if you're in a relationship complicated.
And if they're, like, your good friend.
Yeah, and they're,
like, I think Winston can consider Allie a good friend. And their co-working relationship is, like, you know, if Puya and Liana didn't work out, it's like, well, we do all these podcasts together. What do we do now? Like, they're partners. Or if, like, Mike Bloom and Rob ever had a relationship, and then we're like, how do we untangle this?
Right, but the difference here is, like, it's your cops. Like, you have to, like, save each other's life every day. It's a pretty awkward work relationship.
Well, you know, I'm great. Like, and your partner, and they've already tried to separate as partners, and it really didn't go well. Dunstan.
Are there strict rules on dating coworkers in the police force? I don't know.
I don't know. You on the Seinfeld podcast talk a lot about whether cops can take their cars home with them.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of questions for cops on.
Well, Rob's dad was a police officer, so I think he was able to answer a bunch of them.
He was not able to answer it. I mean, you also hilariously disagreed every time he tried to give you an answer. Like, he was like, I'm pretty sure my dad was a cop. I'm pretty sure he couldn't just take the cars home. And you were like, somewhere somebody's got to be able to take the car home.
Well, I would agree with that. I would agree. Someone would be able to. What? And someone wrote in. Said,
somebody wrote in
everywhere.
And was like, I'm a state trooper. My dad was a state trooper, and he could take the car home.
Ah,
and like,
okay.
There you go. And
victory.
Rob was like, well, that's probably a little bit different. And you were like, well, I think it stands to reason if one law enforcement officer could.
Couldn't be
Rob
me.
Rob was like, okay. Like, and you kept going to the school buses. The school bus drivers take their buses.
The school buses you'd see sometimes. You'd see the bus, you know, you drive around and you'd see a bus in there and.
Yeah, the difference being that people aren't using those school buses at night. Like, there's guys who are patrolling at night, probably need the cars.
You know, a lot of larger Jewish communities have the volunteer ambulance service also. So you'll often see the ambulance parked in the driveway. I had a neighbor who would drive who on Yom Kippur. Generally, they're in charge, like they're on call. For emergencies, so they'll, like, even though we don't really drive on Yom Kippur, they'll drive the ambulance up to synagogue, so, like, if there's an emergency, they're, like, good to go, you know?
This isn't doing a lot for my earlier comment that Jews aren't allowed to work, so it's not just, like, an option.
Well, there's emergencies. Imagine if we're like, no. Your heart attack could wait until after Yom Kippur.
All right. Meanwhile, Nick is having probably his best episode in terms of, like, friendship and sanity, where he's just like, every time Schmidt is flying off the handle, like he they're on motorcycles or ATVs, I don't even know what they are, intimidating scooters. Yeah. And Schmidt flips over off of it, and Nick gives him like an amazing pep talk in these glasses that I feel like he is strangely pulling off, these large yellow tinted like 70s sunglasses.
Yeah, funny sunglasses.
He looks great.
Oh, yeah, he does look good in the glasses.
And so they go to a biker bar off of the energy of Nick's pep talk. And I have to tell you, I like fell over laughing. I almost woke my mom up when Valley Forge says, these are not my favorite sort of white people.
It is funny.
Although, like, we're losing
like a lot of the people in the bar are not white, right?
I don't know. I was like, that's probably not a great line for a number of reasons, but damn if it isn't funny.
Yeah,
like, it's just like a funny comment. I don't even know what it means, right? Like, what does it even mean? It's just like a funny thing for like a stuffy weirdo to say.
Yeah.
And then Schmidt puts Roar On by Katy Perry on the jukebox. And again, Nick there with the save. Just unplug the whole thing. Unplug the whole thing. Surprisingly helpful.
I feel like I don't encounter many jukeboxes these days. What about you?
No, and I'm never a jukebox girly. I feel like when I was younger, it was like big at like diners used to have like a tableside one that you could like pick the song for the diner. And then you could just like, it was fun to press the buttons and like flip through the pages.
Right.
But I don't know. Was Roar by Katy Perry like the good choice here? I do like the callback when they use it in the fighting montage, but like I didn't find it like hysterical that he plays Roar by Katy Perry.
I don't know why they did that. There's also a T-Swift song in this episode, right?
Which song?
I thought there was a Taylor Swift song earlier, but I didn't write it down. The show does have an expensive budget for music sometimes.
Oh, that should I add my potatoes or should I let it ride?
Oh, you can
I'll
add
let
potatoes.
It ride. You know, when we do this second episode, when we switch to the second episode, maybe you'll tell a story. I'll add my potatoes. Schmidt finds a big Schmidt finds a woman that he ends up schtupping, and that's sort of his storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. And somehow, like the last straw for the people at the bar is when Schmidt orders a whiskey on ice. Very weird way to order that. I feel like people would just order whiskey on the rocks, although I don't know which is douchier. And that's the straw that breaks the cacti's back here.
Yeah, it leads to like a big
headphones aren't connected.
A big fight.
So yeah, but Nick's got a great strategy of how to get out of the fight, takes him to the bathroom, and we find out that like all of this is because Toby yelling at Schmidt made him feel like he cannot defend Cece. While I enjoyed these two episodes, I absolutely think the motivation here just does not hang together. Like, suddenly, Schmidt cares about being some, like, macho, physical guy who can get in a fight at a bar. Like, I just feel like he would be desperately trying to get Nick out of a fight.
Yeah, the fight thing doesn't ring so true to me. I don't think he's a fighter. Yeah, maybe it was emasculating for him, but then this fight scene is insane. Hard to tell what's going on. This is like I don't dislike it because it's like I like when they try new things, but this is, you know, a big leap from previous New Girl episodes. This Anchorman style fight scene.
Yeah, I do love Nick and Schmidt being like, "I'll take the little boy. I'll take the little boy in the lineup." But yeah, the fight kicks off. I do like the callback of the use of Roar there. And I also liked it for what you're saying, like, in terms of Anchorman. Like, it is – the sitcom would never normally go to this. The sitcom would go to they sneak out the window. Like, this, the sitcom would end in the bathroom, typically.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this was a big jump. It was a big swing.
Matt Stewart says, Akiva, did you show Mara this episode? The fight scene was very funny physical comedy.
She would have liked it, but no, I did not get to show her this episode. Maybe I'll
I forgot. We haven't gotten a Mara watch in a long time.
You know, Mara and Adira watch a lot of shows together. So they're doing Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They did Modern Family. They did a bunch of other sitcoms. And I suggested Next 30 Rock, but she pointed out she really didn't like it when it was on. So New Girl would be a good option.
Like,
but
30 Rock is not in the same family to me as Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It's not. It's not.
The other show you said.
Deer's already seen it, so I'm not sure they're gonna go to New Girl, but I think Mary would like it.
Post-fight, Winston has this realization. He was thinking about Allie the whole time. Reveals that he's been holding on to one of her barrettes. Which, like, men be so weird when they're in love. Like, this rang very true to me that he would have some random item of hers. And, like, all the men would be like, yeah, like, that hits. Like, that is weird. And that is so typical men.
Well, having him hit her is insane also, right?
Well, no, having him hit the woman, that was Robbie hit the woman. But just Robbie like, I just feel like the whole, like, if he wanted to, he would thing is really just, you know that, I don't know if you know that trope that's like said to women a lot of like, don't chase a guy. Like, if a guy wanted to call you back, he would. If a guy wanted to plan a date, he would. Like, that's your answer kind of stuff. Like, and people push back on that. Like, some men, like, need to be told, need to be asked, like, whatever. That's not a quality, like, whatever. People feel a lot of successful podcast money has been made discussing that one, like, phrase. But the real phrase is just men be so freaking weird when they are in love or they like somebody a lot that it just becomes so obvious. Like, Winston holding onto this barrette of Allie's. Why does he have a hair clip of hers? Because men be weird.
Is it a beret? A barrette? How do you? What's the actual pronunciation?
It's pronounced beret.
Okay.
Beret is a French hat. Beret so is clip.
Oh, I thought they were. I didn't really think that they were different things.
You have too many daughters to not know what a beret is.
Maybe they call it a beret. I don't know.
They don't. A beret is that little mime hat, like the red, like.
Yeah,
hat.
I know what you're talking about. Listen. This is such hair having privilege. So I don't know this stuff, you know.
You have two daughters.
I mean, I haven't had hair in a long time, really.
Do you think I could start a rumor that you've had another kid? You were so cagey when the
care?
Last one was born.
I was cagey.
Like, you say you weren't cagey, or you?
I was cagey.
Yeah.
Listen
to you on Renap. Renap solves your problems or whatever. It was wild when you talked about having five kids. That's so many kids to have.
It's a lot of kids. Yeah, and if I had a sixth, I mean, you would know, but, like, I'd probably be even cagier.
All right. Well, let's not dig any further into that because you'll be cagey about the follow-up question.
But no, I'm not. I'm not having. There's no sixth kid. At least right now, there's not that I know of.
Well, we'll see what I have to tweet about. We'll see what we see.
Mm-hmm.
But... Winston also launches into, like, he envisions that she was named after the Elvis Costello song Allison, which came out in 1977, so is possible, and that Allie is short for Allison. Matt Stewart says, do either of you know the Elvis Costello song Allison? Matt, girl, please. Of course I know the song Allison.
Yes, I do know the Elvis Costello song Allison. I do like... I'm trying to think of a woman I knew who had never heard of, like, it wasn't Roxanne, but let's say it was like someone who had never heard of Roxanne by the Police. It was a famous song. And
well, was her name Roxanne? Like, that would be me.
The
not
example was Roxanne. I'm blanking on the song, but the point is, like, imagine if someone named Roxanne never heard the word Roxanne.
Yes, yes.
Song Roxanne. It was pretty, I mean, maybe it was like slightly less famous, but more famous than Elvis Costello's Allison. They had never heard the song before.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I would have heard of it if my name wasn't Allison. I don't mean it's, like, ridiculous to not have heard of the song. Mm-hmm. But, no, a good family friend of mine, since I was, like, a very, very little kid, whenever I saw him, he'd go, Allison. And just that, because the rest of the song, not, like, super appropriate to sing to a young kid.
Mm-mm.
But, yeah, of course, I would love that song.
There's not a lot of Akiva songs. I guess there's Amar Rebbe Akiva, but yeah, there's not like a lot of.
I'm not familiar with that one. What is it? Keep going.
I'll sing it for the finale. Remind me.
No, come on. You want me to give you a beat?
I don't really like after Amar Rebbe Akiva. It's not so catchy. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Akiva, very, very powerful name. You know, a famous name.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of wisdom associated with that name, but not a lot of. Pop ballads or rock ballads.
No, there isn't like one of the bigger like Jewish singers now is named Akiva. But Rebbe Akiva was like was a simple man until he turned 40, and then he really turned on the guns, and became one of the
like
goats.
1 year away from your launch.
No, I'm 40.
Are you 40 or what? I think my mental age has you frozen in time at 38.
No, I
You were
just turned
40. Oh,
40.
yeah, that's why we just did that whole ramp thing.
Yeah.
All right, edit this out.
No,
Just
nothing to
kidding.
edit. It's fine.
Do you ever have that with people? Like, I just, like, there are certain people whose age I just have fixed at a certain number, like my own at 30.
Well, you know what's interesting to think about? Like, people who are no longer with us, we generally don't think of that. Like, we generally think of them with, like, one face in our heads. It's usually not, like, the last face we saw, but it's also, is it, like, you know, if it's somebody's grandparent and it's like, do you think of them if they pass at 90? Do you think of them as, like, when they were 60? Do you think of them when they were 80? Like, you know, what's the picture you have in your head for people? So I don't know. For living people, I think it's just like the last time you saw them. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I still feel that with my grandma. My grandma's 93 or 4, and I still like picture her. First of all, she was locked in my head at 60 my whole life, mostly because I think she was telling me she was 60 when she was older than 60. But I still picture her when I like think of her more in her like 70 appearance, because I only see her like twice a year now, you know.
Yeah, I think that's also another reason why it's like scary for little kids to like see people when they're dying. You know, it's like then.
What? It's scary for little kids to
Well, I'm
see
saying
people.
like, I remember seeing my
I think it's
grandfather
scary
who
for
was in like
anybody
really
to
bad
like.
shape, and I'm saying he looked so different, and it's like it's hard to not have that as like the permanent image in my head, which I think I don't, but like it's hard to forget that. And I think
Yeah,
similar to
but
my
you're not a
kids.
little kid. I think it's hard for anybody.
No, but if you knew somebody for 30 years, then I think it's not going to be the lasting image in your head. You may remember it, but that won't be sort of the default when you think of the person, if that makes any sense. Versus when you're a kid and, you know, maybe you were 9 years old, you know, when the person passed, it's like, well, you don't really remember the when you were 4, 5, 6, 7, you know, that sort of thing. So you sort of remember like the it is kind of dark.
I know this world is killing you. Yeah, no, that's a tough conversation. But that's what we're doing here, you know? We won't shy away from the tough topics at Ooh Girl Old Guy.
No, you bring it up, we will talk about it.
I don't think any. Who's you? Me? Did I bring that up?
I'm not sure.
I think I just said that you were 38. I think I just aged you down 2 years, and you were like, what do you think about
I
when
should
people
have taken
die?
it. It was actually very kind of you.
All right. Nick talks up Schmidt by saying what everyone's probably thinking about Schmidt. It's 2016. Cece's not looking for a strong husband. And that Cece Schmidt has what it takes to be a modern husband. Whereas in the old world, they would have used him as a pill. This is a great speech from Nick.
Yeah, Nick has some good moments in this episode, also some very bad moments, like getting beat up.
Yeah, they all get beat up, you know.
True.
But he says he's going to be a great husband because he's always been there for Nick. Basically, he's been a great husband and wife to Nick. Even when he doesn't want him there, he's there. He combs his hair when he passes out so that he doesn't get knots in it. He cares about what he eats. He fights for him. He cooks for him when he doesn't ask. Keeve, as a known good husband, you do any of these things for Mara? Is this in your husband roster
Am I a known good
repertoire?
husband?
Well, you've been married a long time.
I mean, so I'm a known husband.
Yeah, fair. Mara seems to like you.
Sure, huge fan. Do I do any of these things? I mean, there's a lot of things I don't do. I don't know.
Think Matt Stewart asked this. Like, what makes a good husband? What anything you'd add to this list?
That's a good question. I don't know. What makes a good
Matt
husband?
Stewart is a husband. He could also you could kick it back to him, who's not
Yeah,
good enough
Matt,
for
kick
you
it back to
either.
you. You let us know. You fill us in.
Then Nick runs away to do a little karate while he tears up because he's overwhelmed with how good he's been with his emotions today. And then meanwhile, while they're pouring one out for Winston's old love, Winston gets his phone back and learns that Allie is single. Then he gets into like a what if I'm not good enough for her. I cried when Winston said, what if I can't bear her sons? That's just like a hilarious thing for Winston to say.
Yeah, that is pretty funny at this stage.
So they're all going to go home. Winston's going to fight for Allie. Schmidt's had enough from his bachelor party because Nick said in a way that he loves him. Robbie's ready to go tell Cece how he feels, which Winston's like, wait, what? What'd you say? And Schmidt's going to stay behind to keep hooking up with his desert flower and avoiding his children. While you react to the end of the episode, I'm going to go put some potatoes into my short ribs. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's
about 5 minutes.
Sure. There's this weird scene where Robbie's cousin, Big Schmidt, Rob Riggle, I've already established I'm not a Rob Riggle guy. I think he's like taken kind of a far right turn, if I'm not mistaken. There was like a commercial on Twitter for like this like far right new show, and he was in it, and I was a little surprised. I don't know what he really does. Let me see what Rob Riggle's going to. Anyway, he like ambles over to this woman, this older woman that he's going to like hang out with in the desert. And he's like wiggling his like pants down already in front of his friend. It's kind of weird. I don't know. Never been a big Rob Riggle guy. Let's look at his Wikipedia for a second. All right, so he's married to Tiffany Riggle from 1999 to 2020, which sad that he's divorced, but it's a pretty long Hollywood marriage. Wonder what happened. Let's see. Okay, they have two children. 2021, he publicly claimed his ex-wife had hacked his personal Apple account, stolen money from his home, and that she was somehow spying on him. Later that month, he got a restraining order after finding a hidden camera disguised as a smoke detector and 10,000 videos, some of which support his claims. Second hearing was scheduled July 2021 at his request. Now, sometimes, like, because it's not the biggest story in the world, like, you have this sometimes with news stories, like, there's just no follow-up. You know, we don't know what happened after that because, like, how many, there's no reporters left. How many of them are, like, on the Rob Riggle beat with his marriage to a non-celebrity? Always sad when like the wife doesn't even have her own Wikipedia page. She's not linked on Wiki, you know. But that's really all I know. Tiffany Riggle. Let's see if she is like online. Tiffany Riggle. If she's like going by her name still. I don't know her maiden name. Yeah, I don't see much of it honestly. I don't know what's going on with the Riggles.
That was interesting. I didn't know Rob Riggle had gone crazy.
Well, I mean, his wife, it sounds like he was having a tough time with his wife.
I also really enjoyed that. Like, I went and got a piece of cheese. I almost
in your ears?
It was like, oh, yeah.
I didn't know you had the AirPods. Can I tell you something? I had, I came home last night, and I had my AirPods in my ears. And I was like, yeah, I do. Like, the second I get home, I got, like, so much stuff. I got, like, my carrying a whole knapsack with my work clothes and my workout clothes and, I got a sweatshirt or whatever now in the winter. And I'm taking all my stuff, my wallet and my keys and everything out. And I misplaced the AirPods case without the AirPods. And so there's no way to, like, find it, right? And I remembered thinking, like, I'm putting this down somewhere stupid, but I didn't remember where. And it was one of these things where I got immediately distracted and then like no more. I didn't know where it was. So I like had to tear my room apart.
So you had the AirPods. You were just missing the case.
I was missing the case. Yeah. So I tore my room apart and it was one of these things where I was like, all right, I'm very motivated. I'm going to like clean this whole room now and everything. Like, and then I found it and I like immediately got demotivated. Like, all right, this is done. Like with stuff all over the place. Like, okay, we found the case.
Well, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never, actually, I'm in a rare moment where I have both AirPods, but I'm usually down to just one.
Wow.
And I find the other, I lose the other, like in my apartment. Like if I lost it in the wild, I would be more concerned. But like, I was doing a podcast with great Johnny Langan recently, filling in for Brian Cohen, three challenge podcasts ago. Mm-hmm. And one like dropped out of my ear and I was like, yeah, I'll get it later. Never got it. Couldn't find it. Was like, I'll find it. I'm very even Steven with them, but I'm usually always at one.
Yeah, I'm usually not losing them, but I am losing the case. And you know, now I'll be more careful.
Allie from the editing room. Literally all I can hear is my mom now. Like, is anybody interested in this? Back to the show.
All right, 1 hour into this podcast. Let's get to a chill day in. Not as much to talk about here, but...
No, we could run through this.
Yeah. So Jess and Cece at the beginning of episode 18, having her bachelorette party. Matt Stewart hilariously said, would Allie's bachelorette party just be Missy and her having a chill day in at Margaritaville?
That's rough. Allie has so many friends.
Well, I thought it was beautiful. Like, but that's, you know,
The
why is
idea
this
of
night
it, oh,
different than all
sure.
other nights? Like,
Right.
that's what I do on a regular day. Like, I don't think I could just like do me and Missy at Margaritaville when the like unbelievable occurrence of my marriage is coming up. Like, should I reach that milestone? I've got to do more than just my regular Tuesday night. But
Are
we'll
there
see.
a lot of are there a lot of like reminders that the goat has passed us by when you go to Margaritaville now?
I haven't been, I think. I don't think I've been since we lost him.
Oh no.
Which we have discussed this, right? That he died of the same cancer my dad died of, which
Yes,
is
yeah,
like
you
an
mentioned that.
extremely rare cancer. I don't
Yes.
think we talked about it on the podcast, but
Yeah, I think you told me,
is
yeah.
this, are you sending me a message that's like we've got to get off soon?
No, I'm sending you a message. It's for a banana minute that you have not heard. I want you to play it
Oh,
without hearing it
fantastic.
in a few minutes.
All right, well, I only have 7% battery left. I didn't know we were going to need my phone, so let me put on airplane mode to protect it.
Okay.
Okay. Great. Very exciting. I'll tell you what it would not be. It would not be watching Anne of Green Gables with a bong. First of all, I don't know much about smoking. I know you don't either. I know nothing about smoking. Matster wants to know how is their high acting. I would venture a guess a bit ridiculous, but I really don't have much experience in the area.
I don't know. I think they did a nice job. I think the idea that she's never high also like makes it easier. She's not like a pro, so she could act silly, and it's like, all right, she's just not used to being high, you know?
Well, what's very funny to me is like Cece did not want this. Like, this seemed to be like Jess's bachelor. She's like, I'm gonna give you a special treat. Like, I'm gonna smoke. And she's like, please don't. Like, you almost die every time. But I do love Return of the Mac, and I love Return of Hi Jess once again. That's a classic New Girl moment. But Anne of Green Gables, you know, I really didn't know much about this. I thought Anne of Green Gables was a TV show. It's like a very short, limited series.
I also thought it was a TV show.
I did like a deep dive, and like the guy Garrett, who they talk about, is only in two episodes. And then I look, and it's like there are only two episodes. I don't know. It was very confusing to me, so I just had to move on. But I love the coach joke, as we already talked about. And I do love, you know, in terms of their high acting, I like some of their musings, like the fact that socks exist is proof that shoes don't work, and like Jess's whole, my hearing is just so good with my glasses off. I'm hearing what a dog hears. I also love the gag that Jess, you know, where did Jess get the weed, which is I think a very big plot hole that we would probably be talking about if they didn't address it. She's like, I know people through you, and we get cut to the clip of her getting it from Nadia.
Yeah, it's a nice, it's good to bring Nadia in because otherwise it's so random at the end when we get to Nadia.
Also true. So then a non-stripper delivery man comes and delivers a bread maker from Schmidt's mom with a very condescending note that reads, "This bread maker couldn't be easier to use. It has one button. Even you could do it with a few tries. Ha ha."
Yeah, this type of message I would get. Someone would give to me.
I mean, that's tough. That's horrible. Probably different angled at a woman versus you've created sort of a brand about like your joking incompetence.
Yeah.
But they then proceed to beat the crap out of it like a pinata until Schmidt calls, so excited they've gotten their first gift and like, please bring it in. Like, he's so thrilled. And she's devastated that she couldn't even take care of the first gift they've ever had. Again, kind of a stretch to get Cece to the same place as Schmidt of like, I'm not nurturing, I can't take care of him. Then we find out it's really kind of, you know, aside from the gendered stereotypes, they're the best match for each other because Schmidt's more of that nurturing caretaker, I show up for you, and Cece's the mama bear protector in the relationship. I do have a complaint about the retail experience where they're returning the bread maker.
What's the problem?
Well, first of all, $1,200 for a bread maker sent me to Google because I was like, there's just no way
The
an
world's
appliance like this.
nicest bread maker, maybe?
The best overall bread maker, according to Spruce Eats, which is also the most expensive one I could find, is the Zorushi Home Bakery Virtuoso Plus Bread Maker, available at Amazon. You want to guess how much that is? Price is Right.
Zorushi. How much? $7.99.
$375.
Oh, okay. So it's hard
to
find
a
bread maker.
Unless you're like having a commercial kitchen.
Yeah.
In which case you'd have an oven, which would be more than $1,200. But like a $1,200 countertop appliance
that
just makes bread is insane.
That's nuts.
Like, I just thought that was ridiculous. It also didn't need to cost that much. I think the fact that it's not available is sufficient. Like, why does it have to be $1,200? Presumably, they're buying it anyway, and the issue is that they're out of stock. So that irritated me. The second thing that irritated me, mm-hmm. Matt Stewart asked, would Bed Bath & Beyond return that bread maker? Like, they go to return it, and they're like, it was delivered like this. And the saleswoman is just like, you obviously broke this yourself. It's one of those lies where, like, they'd have to be insane to have broken this bread maker in this fashion.
Yes.
How on earth would this retail person say, you obviously beat this, like, you obviously broke this yourself? In what world? The only explanation for it being so banged up like this would be either that they're insane and they beat it for no reason, or the much more likely scenario, which is it was damaged in delivery.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. By the way, we talked about the couch on this podcast. My couch
more
was
specific.
That they brought us the wrong couch. We've had the wrong couch for like 6 months.
Oh, no.
Maybe I told it to Rob Chester.
Not that I remember. Maybe you did. Just say it again.
So, no, I mean, it's not so interesting, but basically, my wife, like, you know, was very excited. She really wanted the couch. I was like, I don't think we need this, like, new couch. She like, goes to the store, custom designs new couch, even made me go, which was, like, my least favorite part. Like, it's fine. Just do whatever you want. And they get the, so the couch eventually, after, like, way too long, finally comes DOA. It's like, this is not the right couch. But we'd already gotten rid of our old couch. So
what's,
like, okay,
wrong about it?
It was the wrong material. It was sort of like the right color, but the wrong material and the wrong, like, shape, and not everything about it, according to her, was off. It, okay. Like, it was custom made, but it, she, to her, it was like not even close. So they keep the couch. It's a disaster now, this couch. Like, it is not in good shape because, you know, it's not the material she wanted, which was like less kid friendly. And also, we've had it probably for over 6 months. So yesterday, like, finally, they're bringing a new couch. They're going to get rid of the old one. They brought another couch that was way off. She didn't let
God.
In the house.
What,
and she's really not
this?
Like Karen-y like that. I don't know. I don't know what company it was, but
well, couch is a big purchase. Like, you don't just like, and you've got a big family, a lot of kids, like, mm-hmm. as we've already mentioned, you can't just like settle for, whatever you didn't pay for. I don't think that's Karen-y.
Yeah. So anyway, we're still stuck on the wrong couch for at least probably 3 more months.
I'm not going to be able to explain, why I'm asking you this or what made this pop into my head, but could you explain what the brotherly shove is to me?
Yeah. So basically, other teams can do it, but it's mostly the Philadelphia Eagles. Their quarterback's name is Jalen Hurts, and when there's a very small amount of yardage, usually 1 yard to get, he lines up with the ball, and he's going to sort of push forward, which is a very common play called a quarterback sneak. But basically, a guy will go behind him and like push his butt. So as he's like trying to fall on the pile, he's basically pushing him forward. So he falls like even further, and it's basically automatic. You get the yard every time.
And I've seen that Goodell is like threatening to ban it.
Yeah, they're too effective with it, and it's sort of like aesthetically boring. So the brotherly shove slash, it used to be the tush push, but because it's Philly, they switched it to the brotherly shove. It's not, it's sort of bad, but then the other teams try it and it doesn't work. So it's hard to really argue against, but I do think they'll probably ban it.
But, like, why?
Because it's like a cheat code. It's like if someone figures out a way to cheat the game, you...
Are they cheating? Like, could you not...
Did you see it here? Search on Twitter, Brotherly Shove, because they just scored a Brotherly Shove touchdown as we speak.
Well, because I saw them talking about it on New Heights.
Yeah. Oh, you listened to the Kelsey podcast?
I watched the clips on TikTok.
Got it.
I'll check it out later. I don't know. When they're in the big pile like that, it's hard for me to even tell what they're doing.
How much time would you say you spend on TikTok?
An exorbitant amount. You want me to check? It will be terrifying. I usually fall asleep. I actually sent Brian a TikTok in my sleep the other day. He was like, do we know these people or what's the context? I was like,
wow.
I was asleep. Sorry.
Sleep talking.
Screen time. You can like see how many minutes you spend on each app, right?
Mm-hmm.
See all activity. This is going to be devastating.
I don't even have the app on my phone.
How do I... My daily average? I can't even tell you this. Take a guess.
4 hours, 22 minutes.
Okay, it's under that. 2 hours and 44 minutes is my daily average.
A lot of time. I don't like anything on TikTok.
Now, I would like to suggest that I go to sleep with it open, so I don't know how much it's tracking that until my phone goes to sleep, but honestly, that's probably right. Like, I watch it every morning probably for 20 minutes when I first get up, and then when I'm like, sometimes I'll just do it when I'm walking to work, like instead of a podcast, I'll like scroll TikTok and just listen. The trains both ways when I go home, I go to sleep with it for like 30 minutes, so that sounds about right, sadly.
Wow.
I'm totally addicted to it.
I don't even know what you like about it. Like, I mean, I guess maybe I'm old, but like, I go on TikTok and it's just like, it's a lot of it's fake, first of all, right? A lot of like the more viral people are like staged and.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing really I've ever seen on there that's like, oh, this is really interesting.
I'm getting a bit tired of it, but you know what it is? It's like, it's the same amount of entertainment as like, when I want to watch TV, but I have nothing to watch. Like, not just like, oh, I'm turning on for Survivor. Like, when I'm going to YouTube or I'm going to go, oh, The Housewives, I recorded that, I'll watch. Or, like, a random podcast. It's the same amount of entertainment I get out of something like that. And it's instant. It's just, like, instant, available, and quick. And it could be, like, 10 minutes. It's terrible. It's addicting. They know what they're doing there.
Yeah.
All right, so they bump into Allie at the mall. Trip is being a distracted jerk. We find out that it's her 5th year anniversary of becoming a cop, and he's supposed to be treating her to dinner, making dinner. And like, again, this is also sitcom-y. They did this on Sex and the City. Like, it's a very weird thing to have to, like, go to, like, a kitchen and home store to buy materials to then cook dinner with that night.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently that's what they're doing. They're there to, like, I don't know what they need for this lavish dinner the Trip is cooking that they don't just own already. And Jess wants to tell Allie about Winston's feelings because she can tell that Allie is not pleased with her boyfriend. Bad idea from Jess, right?
Yeah, this is a bad idea.
I don't hate the move. If they were a little younger and Allie was like single, like that has been successful in the past. Like you tell a friend to tell a friend, or a friend once told me a guy liked me, and then I was like, well, I could consider that. Like, you know, I don't know. You have someone plant the seed versus just like a full confrontation. I need a decision, yes or no. Do you like me back kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But at this age, when Allie's in a relationship, I don't love the move.
Yeah, listen, it's tough because, you know, you don't want to be that guy. And I feel like he's being that guy right now.
Well, in fairness, Jess is trying to be that guy, but yeah, it ends up Allie tells off Trip, and Jess misinterprets that as her being single, so that's how we find out that Jess has misreported to Winston that Allie is single. In the process of stealing the floor model bread maker, Allie joins in, and they get caught and cuffed by a mall cop. I do think they could have done more with, like, Allie being a real cop versus this being a mall cop. That could have been funny, but... You know, there's only so much time.
Yeah.
I did like the line of, let's dress up in the clothes from the lost and found and start crying. And he'll come in and go, where did all those girls go? It's just babies in here. But meanwhile, Allie gets up to speed and Cece just breaks, tells off the mall cop. They escape. I guess Allie uncuffs them later. And they're back after Jess gives Cece a huge pep talk about how she's the mama bear that mirrors Nick's pep talk in the episode before. And yeah, Matt Stewart sums it up nicely. It's funny, at the end of the day, Cece is the quote man that Schmidt wants to be, and Schmidt is the nurturing housewife in quotes that Cece is worried she can't be. And Jess can't hold it in anymore, and while Allie laments that she doesn't have love in her life like the love they have, Jess basically is just like, Winston has a crush on you. sort of not in exact order, but that gets us there.
Yeah.
The boys bust in at the wrong time. Winston launches into a speech that he cannot be interrupted in public, in front of everybody, while the guys sing Allison. What a callback. And we find out the reveal that she's not actually single. It was just a miscommunication. But at the end of the day, Winston wins the day, because when he remembers her copiversary and wishes her a happy copiversary, says that he's proud of her, she responds in the totally sane way of just grabbing him and kissing him in front of everybody.
Yep. If someone says happy work anniversary, you gotta smooch. Gotta smooch him.
Then, out of nowhere, random people bust in, kidnap them. What did you think was happening, Keeve, on your first watch?
I thought this was the fight people beating them up again.
Ah, okay. But it's just Nadia and some strippers and boy certs. This is when my mom woke up, said wow. And Robbie moves on from Cece and moves on to Nadia. They kiss in the van.
Mm-hmm. Now, canonically, Nadia, not a big fan, you know, of our people. So it's funny that she's just smooching Robbie, but whatever.
Do we know that Robbie's Jewish?
I guess we don't. It's just Schmidt's cousin.
Oh,
no, she kisses Schmidt.
No,
I was thinking,
Robbie,
you're
yeah.
right. She kisses Robbie. Yeah. You're right. I was thinking it was, I thought she kissed Big Schmidt. You're right. Big Schmidt's kissing other people.
So meanwhile, Winston's the happiest he's ever been, and we find out that Allie's like, well, I still have a boyfriend, and Winston says, it's cool, I'm married. Don't worry, it was a prank. Keevy, a couple questions on the guide as we move forward. Robbie and Nadia, are we going to see them again together?
I don't think so. Are we going to see Nick's shamrock knuckle tattoo? I also don't think that comes up.
And then Allie and Winston, it ends at a weird point where, like, she's rejected him, but then kissed him, but then says, like, I still have a boyfriend.
Yeah, I think because they need to play it off. Will they, won't they, that sort of thing.
Okay, so we're keeping going on a will they, won't they pace.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Matt Stewart says, which episode did you like better?
I think the second one, honestly. I liked the swing they took, but I thought some of, like, the bar stuff was okay, but a little annoying. The fight was, like, okay, but annoying. I thought the whole first episode was wacky. So I like it together.
I think the first episode had better, more like lines that made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
The second episode had everybody in it, so you kind of get the best of both worlds because they kind of reconvene all together. It wraps it all up. But yeah, I mean, I think it really is one story. Like, I think Kelly was really pounding the drum here that we needed to watch these together, and I'm glad she did. It's one episode. It's one, you know, 1 hour episode. All right, MVP. Keeve, both episodes, or, you know, both together, one and one, whatever you think.
The MVP, I'm going to give it to Jess, because I can't give it to any of the guys. They lost the fight. Jess has her every 10 years bong. You know, to me, Jess is the clear winner here.
So I think Nick is the MVP for me in episode one. I just really think he has a great episode as a friend perspective. Like, he just rides for Schmidt so hard. He steers him. He gets him out of the fight. Then he's willing to have the fight and get their ass kicked just for his friend. So that was weird how I said ass like that. And then I think for me, the second winner is Winston in the second episode. Because, like, granted he's not in it that much. But, like, to get the kiss off of Allie here is a huge deal, I think. Otherwise, Jess, honorable mention for, you know, the reasons you said, and for the same reasons Nick gets it for me in the first episode. All right, Matt Stewart says in the first episode, Winston, he's the funniest in the episode, and Allie is single, but Nick is a really close second, being an amazing friend, also extremely funny. And then says the MVP for both is Nadia, because why not? She saved the Bachelor and Bachelorette parties at the end, while also maybe having a future with Robbie, which is exactly how I want the series to end. Although it should be Winston for getting Allie. All right. Matt and I mostly aligned there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's play this, I almost said Kiwi Minute, this Banana Minute, before my phone dies. Anything you want to say to cue this up, or just go for it?
No.
All right.
Hey, I'm safe.
Hi.
Have you been to the moon recently?
Oh, hold on. It's on 1.5. Okay.
Hey, Hey, Yosef.
Hi.
Have you been to the moon recently?
Nope.
What do you mean? Where's Banana been?
I'm done with Banana.
You're done with Banana? Why, because you're in first grade, you're too cool for Banana now?
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening to him?
He was always fake.
What? I believed. I believe he's real, and I believe one day he'll come back. What do you think?
I believe that's...
Oh, sorry.
The biggest lie in the world.
So what about all your great stories about you and Banana, Macaroni Go Home, all his siblings?
Cake.
What about them? Were they real stories or were they fake?
Fake.
The whole thing? You made it up?
Yes.
Or are they your stories and you were just, anytime someone did something bad, you just blamed Banana, but really it was you?
No.
What were someone's name? Banana, Macaroni Go Home, Cake?
Give me my clap.
Well, this is upsetting. Is this the last Banana Minute?
Yep.
Now we're going to have to do the Yosef Minute going forward.
Nope.
What?
Now we're going to do the Soccer Minute.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Okay. We might need to bring Banana back.
Nope.
Wow. It's you really crazy. Sat on that.
Yeah, the end of an era.
Wow.
He you does know, still want to come on and do his own minutes, but he's in first grade now, you know?
I've been pushing for just the Yosef Minute, mostly because I didn't want to have that moment. I mean,
I know it was very hard.
How many kids have to reveal on air that their imaginary friend is fake?
I thought maybe I should save it for the series finale, but it's too far away. Yeah, it's too far away.
Oh wow! And then you know, that's I don't know how you feel, Akeem. Was that hard to hear?
It's hard, you know, but this is growing up, and I think you know we'll be able to get good stuff out of Yosef still. It's a little sad.
Wow. All right, pour one out for Banana.
Mm-hmm.
Always have that tote bag. Yes. He lives on my tote. R.I.P. Banana. All right.
We'll never forget you.
Next week we'll do a Gardner Minute, but this has been kind of a long episode.
Yeah, okay.
And I've got short ribs burning a hole in my pocket. All right, next week, Keeve. Season 5, episode 19.
Are we doing a double also? Because they both aired together.
Oh, okay. Hold on, let me pull it up. Do-do-do-do-do. Season 5, episode 20. Wow, I feel like this season 5 was kind of a slow progress. It felt like we were always kind of around episode 12. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, next week we're going to be in episodes 19, 20. We're really yep. approaching jar territory here.
Yep, yep, we're near the jar.
Okay, yeah, both aired May 3rd. So, all right, let's give a guess first on season 5, episode 19, dress.
Wedding dress.
What about the wedding dress?
I have no idea. It's about the wedding
dress. Well, remember where we left off with Cece's wedding dress, do you?
No, I don't.
So, just to catch you up and the listeners up, remember that, you know, Winston as a bridesman got Cece drunk or got drunk with Cece, went shopping, bought a hideous dress that like mm-hmm. lit up with like mirrors and stuff. And then they brought it to Jess in the hotel room when she was on jury duty. And she held up a sign that said, I could fix it. And that's where we last saw that dress.
Okay. Now I remember, but I had not thought of the dress in a while.
All right. So back, maybe we'll be back down that route.
And what's the second one?
And then, Season 5, episode 20, Return to Sender.
Maybe it's a wedding invitation gets returned to sender.
Maybe. You know who we haven't seen this episode?
Who?
Sam. Sam yep. did not score an it's invite true. To the bachelor party.
That's true. No Sam there.
All right, Keeve, what's been doing on Renap? I'm slowly catching up. I'm behind.
This week we had a fun one. It was you should check it out. It's a video episode also. Basically, it's an idea from Renap Human of the Year, Melly Bish, Dr. Melly Bish. We started a story and then we sent it out to a bunch of different people, including your other co-host Brian Cohn gets in there pretty early, and a lot of other great Renap staples and RJP staples. And we the story went around and round, and it at times got pretty funny. And 32 fans will be talking football. It's the Vikings are in trouble. The Jets season's over, but they're winning by accident. That's about it.
Yeah, this always happens with the Jets, right? We fail to lose to get the better draft pick.
Yeah, the day my daughter was born, they were trying to lose. The day Ella was born, they were trying to lose to get the second pick in the draft, which I think they wanted Reggie Bush. They won at the end, and me, my father, and my grandfather were all yelling at the TV while my wife was thinking about filing for a divorce on the first day as a mother.
All right. Sending bad vibes then to the Jets. Chester messaged me during the Survivor finale, would I watch Titanic to do that podcast? And I agreed. And then he was like, great, I'll watch this week. And then I wrote back, like, I was drinking at the Survivor finale. Did I agree to this? And he said, haha. So I don't know. I have not watched it, Chester.
I would like to do that. I would like to do that at some point soon. That would be fun.
Are you going to come on?
Do you know what that should be? That should be the week between the Super Bowl. We always do something stupid, like the week between when there's no football, the week before the Super Bowl. Can we do it then?
You talk to Alex.
I'll talk to Alex. I got his
number. Talk to Alex. Are you going to come on?
Yes, I'll come on if we do it then.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to Alex. Okay. But that sounds good. Giving me like a month and a half's notice or, you know, a month and change notice is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And otherwise, check out rapidswebsite.com/challengefeed where we're covering season 39 of The Challenge with the aforementioned Brian Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Keeve at Keeve26. Follow me at LashTweets. Although I'm currently closed to new followers. I have to go back and look through that. But all right, Keeve, next week, double episode. Talk to you then.
All right, excited.
Bye.
Bye.
See ya, I love ya!
Ali and Akiva, gonna talk a TV show, and maybe Jenny Garner, so don't go any farther now. Akiva and Ali, all the way to the finale, his face is his job, she's the captain of NGOG.